Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship this morning, and a special welcome to those online. We are a very welcoming congregation, and I just want to let you know that each and every one of you is welcome here today. You are welcome here if you are having spring allergies, like me, or if you just get to enjoy this beauty consequence-free. We don't have as many people as usual, and they might be out enjoying the spring weather, consequence-free. And so you are all welcome here, no matter who you love, how you express your gender, whatever your immigration status. You're welcome here if you are very young or getting older, and you are welcome here no matter how you're feeling today. If you are pretty tired from that crazy light change, or if you just love that it's going to be lighter tonight and are pushing back all that exhaustion. So I have a few announcements this morning. The first one is we are halfway to our pledge drive goal. We're a little over 120,000, so we are really excited about that. So if you haven't pledged, remember to, there should be a link in your email somewhere where you can easily do it. It's quite simple. We have coffee downstairs, and there's coffee online. After the service, you just have to press on the link that came in your order of service this morning. And for everyone else, there are goodies and coffee downstairs. We'd like to especially welcome those of you who are new today. If you are interested in getting more information about our congregation, we have many things happening during the week. There's a little piece of paper in the seat in front of you that you can fill out. So welcome. Yes, there it is. So now we have a stewardship moment.
Think not forever of yourselves, O chiefs, nor of your own generation. Think of continuing generations of our families. Think of grandchildren and of those yet unborn whose faces are coming from beneath the ground. This is from Peacemaker, who is the founder of the Iroquois Confederacy, circa 1000 AD.
The only gift is a portion of thyself, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
That is what I consider true generosity. You give your all, and yet you feel as if it costs you nothing. Simone de Beauvoir.
We value every pledge from every member and friend, and accept it with gratitude.
We pledge to Wolf.
We pledge to Wolf.
So that we can plan.
So we can plan.
The next year's budget.
The next year's budget.
Knowing what our income will be.
Knowing what our income will be.
A goal of this stewardship campaign is to raise enough so that we can compensate our staff fairly for the hours they already work.
The future of our congregation is bright. Imagine what we will accomplish together.
Hi.
Hello. We love Wolf, and we love the friends and community that we've made here. And we love coming to the service every week. We love volunteering. We love meeting new people. And we're so excited to see what Wolf is bringing next year and being a part of making that vision come to life.
If you love Wolf as much as we do, please consider donating or volunteering your time.
Thank you.
So now it's time to greet your neighbors. So today, share what is something that you do that keeps you calm. So you can try to share with more than one person and with people who are new. To invite Gil up to light our chalice this morning. A bird sitting on a tree is never afraid of the branch breaking because her trust is not in the branch, but in her own wings. We light this chalice for our community and the ways it helps us trust our own wings. Let us say our affirmation together.
Open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
My name is Scott, and my pronouns are he and him, and it's so good to see all of you today. Good morning. Hi. I get to serve as your lay leader today, and I am so happy to serve this congregation. Our opening reading and our call to worship is by Lisa Friedman. We touch the floor to remember that wherever we bring our best self is holy ground. We reach of the sky to remember that we are part of a mystery much bigger than ourselves. We hold hands to remember that we are part of a community of care. We join voices to remember that we each have a gift to offer the world and to use it in making the world a better place. Will you join us as we sing Spirits of Life? And thank you, Virginia, for leading our sign language this morning. Time in our service when we pause and reflect on the blessings and the gifts that we have received from this abundant earth around us and beneath us and the generous spirit of this community to consider what is it that we feel grateful for today. Our WIF community thrives because of the generous spirit of everybody around you. And reflecting on gratitude can often inspire us to be generous with what we have to offer each other and also to our broader community around us. And today, I'm feeling especially grateful for new members and for those that have found this community to join us and to journey together. As Ben plays our musical interlude, please consider how you have benefited from being here at WIF and what you have to offer our community, whether it be financial support, your time, your energy, your talents, or ideas. Know that we all benefit and are grateful for your generosity. The hosts may now come forward to collect our offering for the sustaining work of this beloved community. Thank you so much for your gifts this morning. Will you join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving? Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
I would like to invite any children who would like to come forward this morning. We are going to be standing for this. We are doing a body prayer this morning, and any adults who would like to join us, we certainly welcome that. Okay. So, feel the gravity of the earth holding you into place. Wiggle your toes as if they were roots. Roots, adults, are you doing this? This is good. Okay. Roots connect you to the earth, lending you strength. Gently sway in the wind, turning your body like a trunk of a tree. Leaning this way and that, bending as the air pushes your body. What surrounds you may sway, may you bend and feel unbalanced. Wiggle your toes. Stand tall. Feel your roots. Know they hold you as you grow and learn. A tree is nourished by soil and water. You are nourished by food the earth grows and the water it provides. You are cared for and loved by many people. Breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. Still yourself. Know your roots are strong. Wiggle your roots. We will now sing our children to their classes. Oh, sorry, everybody. It is the willingness to make promises to each other that allows us to trust each other, to become vulnerable, and in that trusting vulnerability to transform, to heal, and to be loving, courageous people. So I would like to invite those who are joining today up to the chancel. Mary Hepokowski, Peter White, Wendy Lee White, Jeff Webster, Christy Webster, Kenzer Clay, you can just come right up here, James Linnaeus, Amanda Luell, and Juliette Booth. So we are going to cite a short version of our covenant this morning. And you can sort of see the words on the order of service, and the people who are newer have a guide. We covenant to take responsibility for our feelings, behavior, and communication, to maintain civility and compassion in the face of differences. Assume good intentions. Acknowledge that we all make mistakes and be generous with apology, forgiveness, and gratitude. We covenant to strengthen our community, to strengthen our community by being generous with our time, talent, energy, and resources. We covenant to encourage each other's personal growth and to honor WRF's practices of democracy, shared ministry, and collaborative leisure. So, new members, I would love for you to join us in the words of joining. We accept
the responsibility and challenges of membership and enter freely into this covenant. We participate in the ministry and vision of this congregation.
So, fellowship, I would like you to respond. Love is the spirit of this fellowship, and so we welcome you into our covenant and congregation of love. So we are going to invite all of you to sign our book, which is one of our traditions of joining. And as we do this, if everyone could sing, come sing a song with me, which is 346 in your hymnals, and the words are on the screen. So you can join me.
Where are the roses?
So now is time for joys and sorrows. We all have joyful times, from the small, tasting a cup of coffee or tea, enjoying the sun on your faces, or the yellow bloom of daffodil. Or there's the larger things, a perfect job, accomplishing something we've worked hard at, falling in love, the birth of a child. Good things happen. And we all have difficult times. From the small, running late, grabbing some milk out of the fridge and spilling it on the floor. Or the large things, job loss, not being able to pay our bills, or the doctor or medication, an accident, bad things happen. So we hold all of that, dropping stones into our goblet of water for our joy and sorrow, to remember that you are never alone in your joys and sorrows, that life lived in a community means that they are all firmly and gently held. So I will invite you to come forward. people will come down this side of the aisle and back this way, and we will, Scott will release you, like one or two rows at a time, into the calmness of this community, release, surrender, and so that we'll come, kind of come up two rows at a time. And if you can stand to let people go by instead of having them crawl across your laps, that would be really lovely for everyone. So, all right.
A rousing welcome to all of our new members today and a couple of weeks ago, and no matter how you came here, you're here, and it's just so lovely. So good to see you all.
I am cane free and pain free.
After six great nephews, there will be a great niece in the fall.
My sister, my only sibling, died 2 days ago. There is a tombstone with the inscription, "It is a terrible thing to love what death can take." After much thinking, I've concluded it's more terrible not to.
After 5 months of a lot of effort, I sold my home and moved, and for the last 2 weeks, I am now a resident of Oregon.
For my sisters, doing much better.
With Sophie Strand, and it's The Body is a Doorway, which is very healing for chronic illness and the earth. So just wishing healing.
Hey guys, I know that many of you haven't met Harper, but if you could send strength her way, I would just so appreciate it, even if just for a second. Okay?
Thank you. This is for Sharon Fursuch. She was my very good friend, and I'm so grateful to have known her. I miss her a lot.
Well, I have many things to be grateful for in my life, and one thing that I'm very grateful for is that I get to hang out with a special guy, Rick Tangerman, and tomorrow is his birthday. So send Rick happy birthday.
This is a stone from my dear friend Joanne, who battled cancer and who died this last week, and she'll always be a light in my heart and an inspiration.
And one last stone for all the joys and sorrows that remain in our heart and that we share the rest of humanity.
Return again.
We are living in a whirlwind of fear and pain, confusion and loss. At the same time, ordinary life continues, and it may be full of its own pain and fear and loss and confusion. It is so easy to be afraid right now. Fear comes easily to us during times of uncertainty, especially when the current moment feels especially bleak and we can see no glimmers or visions of the future. Fear can absolutely serve us, especially in a moment of acute danger, or when we see potential dangerous outcomes in the future and are able to calmly plan. But ongoing fear is toxic. It keeps us in a storm of pain and anger and can build hatred for those we think are causing or not fixing whatever is making us afraid. In fear, we cannot think. We react. We go inward. We stop. It becomes impossible to move forward and to access the truth of love and care and hope, which might be all around us. The famous quote from Dune, "I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer," is correct. So today we're going to practice some short exercises that can help us find our way back to a calm, steady equilibrium whenever we are anxious or afraid. When we release fear, it is so much easier to hope, which is always the more helpful response. In that place, we can respond to situations rather than react. We can lean toward a future that fills us with hope and love. So not all these exercises are going to work for every person. But I just ask you to try, and if one feels completely wrong for you and your body, just let it go, keep breathing, and wait till the next one. So my real hope for this service is that each person will find one or two exercises that are quick and easy that can release your fear and anxiety so that you can return to your soul.
A reading by Alicia Ford. I lift up my eyes up to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from love abundant. My help comes from the hills. My help. My help. It comes from ancient mothers whose hearts beat in mine. It comes from the trees that sway and the breeze that sways them. My help comes from all that was and is and will ever be. I lift my eyes, hushed by the soothing touch of waves, caressing wounded shores, wounded souls. I lift my eyes to the horizon bathed by the hum of mothers and mothers' mothers, cradling, gently rocking. I lift my voice, call of the sea trees, sister moon, mother earth, my soul weeping, a symphony of life overflowing. I give myself. I too hum through every pore. With every breath, I give myself. An extension of all that is, was, and ever will be.
These words are by Jess Reynolds. On my worst days, it is gravity I am most thankful for. The way the earth pulls at me from her core, yearns for me, keeps me pressed tightly against her surface. When my own core is hollowed out, when I have no more mass than a leaf dead on the branch, still, this is enough for the earth to find me. She reaches for what little I have and says, stay. Every meditation I have ever done begins by asking me to ground myself. This is not so much an action as it is inaction. Surrender. A voluntary abandonment of my edges and tidy packaging. So sit with me now. Press the soles of your feet back into the ground you sprang from. Feel the weight of your body and know that it is glorious. You are born of soil and sun, and all the heaviness of the earth is a call back to you. The earth is reaching for you. Reach back. Reach back. So let us feel the pull of the earth. Let's reach back as our musicians prepare to share with us.
Thank you.
When we are anxious or afraid, when we feel regretful or upset for what we did or did not do, when we are angry at someone else for what they did or did not do, one of the best places to rest is in the present moment. And so we are going to practice two ways to come to the present. So the first step is to look at and notice five things around you with your eyes. You can do it now. Now feel four things you can touch. What are three things you can hear? Notice two things you can smell. Notice one thing you can taste. So how do you feel? Feel your mind and your body? Are you more settled? More present? You can practice this exercise whenever you want to let go of the past or the future and just be, stop your racing mind. I find it particularly useful when I start a walk or I come into a new place to just find myself being there. There's another quick way to come to the present. Close your eyes if that's okay with you. Keep them open if it's not. So breathe in, and as you do, say to yourself, be here now. As you exhale, say to yourself, be here now. Now as you breathe in, say, slow way down, and say to yourself, as long as you breathe in, be here now. As you breathe out for the entire exhale, say, be here now. So continue to practice this exercise until you hear the gong. So notice how you feel now. How's your body? Has your mind given you a small reprieve from its constant chatter? Now repeat after me, hallelujah, hallelujah. The storm is passing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, the storm is passing, hallelujah.
We will not always do what we want to do. We will make mistakes. We will have regrets. Many of us were taught that beating ourselves up is the best way to do better next time. But actually, that shame and guilt and destruction to our self-esteem makes it less likely that we will move into the next moment with confidence and clarity. We are also taught that suffering and grief are things to get quickly over with. We should find the silver lining, we might be told, or we need to think about learning something from whatever the terrible experience is. Or if we can't pull it together over a relatively short time, we should medicate it. Instead of beating ourselves up, some religious traditions and science tell us that it is self-compassion that heals us. It is self-compassion that gives us the strength to deal more effectively with whatever we are struggling with. Kristen Neff researches self-compassion, and she defines it as being kind and understanding toward ourselves when we suffer, fail, or feel inadequate, rather than ignoring our pain or flagellating ourselves with self-criticism. There are three distinct parts of self-compassion. The first is to treat ourselves with a gentle kindness, feeling and honoring the pain or the guilt or the shame. We don't try to fix anything. We just be with that feeling. Some call this step recognizing and acknowledging what we are feeling without judgment. This can be hard to do and takes a little practice, but possible. The second step of self-compassion is to remember that all people suffer. We don't suffer the same way or the same amount, but every person is vulnerable and flawed and imperfect. We can remember that we are not unique and that we are not alone in our suffering. The third is to take a balanced and mindful approach to our suffering so we don't suppress it and we don't exaggerate it. This prevents us becoming over-identified with difficult thoughts or feelings, or we aren't swept away in those painful feelings. So there is a simple meditation for bringing yourself to self-compassion. So we will try it now. So just get comfortable and touch your body in a way that is comfortable for you. Often this can be a hand or two hands over your heart. Maybe you rest one on your belly. Perhaps your hands just touch one another, or your arms, or your neck, or anywhere else that feels comfortable now. Now feel the warmth and the gentleness of your hands. Let the warmth and kindness seep into your body. If you would like to do this, and it is not too intense for this public arena, think about a recent mistake or a moment that made you feel unworthy or feel the sensation of suffering you've recently been experiencing. As you sit, let the warmth and kindness of your touch seep in, noticing the changes in your body and the way you feel. Let's take a moment. And let us respond. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. When times are tough, it is helpful to remember who you are, what matters to you, and what your core values are. It is helpful to know where your center is. So now I invite you to notice a place inside of you that feels like your center. So take a moment, just pay attention. So what is your center like? Is it still, or fiery, hard, or soft? Is it bright, or is it dark? Breathe into it. Does this center have content that you can feel? Sometimes it might feel like love, but maybe it's something else. Just notice. You might bring your attention to your own edges. Find a boundary that marks the edge of you. It could be your skin. Sometimes it's a bubble of energy that surrounds you. But maybe it's somewhere inside, close to your center. Wherever you find that boundary is fine. Breathe in and notice your center. Breathe out and notice your boundary. Breathe in. And notice your center. Breathe out and notice your boundary. You can play with this practice, noticing what's happening with your center and your edges as you stay with them and give them your attention. Sometimes our boundaries want to be pulled in close for protection. Sometimes they want to be big and spacious and roomy. As you attend to your center and edges, you might use your breath to help mark the boundary that is right size for you now, today. And when you're ready, I invite you to come back into the shared space and to notice again who is here with you. Each of us is our own person, with our own center and our own boundaries. And each one of us is part of this larger group of companions. All of us are part of the larger whole of the earth. Let us respond. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. Finally, in the words of Diana Butler Bass, gratitude takes us from the abstract belief to living compassion in the world. Gratitude is the strongest, clearest, most robust, and radical when things are really hard. Really hard. All is lost hard. So let us rise and sing to our thanks. 10:10, we give thanks. Benediction is from Sarah York. We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, movely bold into the unknown. We now light our chalice. Let us keep the vision and compassion of our faith until we meet again. And now we will sing our final hymn. The front turns towards the back faces the front. We sing Carry the Front.